everyone. Isn't it great to get up here and share the Word of God and be, you know, lamenting for the last 3 days? And whenever I go through this, I get such a headache and I get crabby. So thanks to you guys. Thanks, Brother Portman, for giving me this headache. No, it's gone now, but thank you. Thank you, Brother Portman and Pastor Schumacher. I'm sorry, Pastor Portman and Pastor Schumacher, for this opportunity. And I, you know, I said that out of jest, but I take this so seriously that I do get a headache and crabby, because I really want not just what Art Hefner wants to say, but I really want to say what God wants me to say. I really want everyone here to walk away with something that they can use, that will better their life, that when they leave here, they'll leave better than when they came. That's my real goal, is to share with you what God wants to share with you. Thank you so much, Mom and Dad, for being here. I promise I won't embarrass you. I'll try. But well, what do we do next? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for these people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've given me. We love you. We ask that you bless this time, that you bless my words, that you bless every person. Have your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you please turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41? While you're turning there, there was a day that the Bible says and records that Martha had an unexpected house guest, Jesus. Now, while she toils over a meal for Jesus and his disciples, her sister Mary decides to spend time with Jesus at his feet. Martha sees this and is angered and complains that she is doing all the work while Mary is doing nothing. Or is she doing nothing? Jesus responds to Martha's complaint by saying, "You are anxious and troubled with much serving." Luke 10:41 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Please be seated. I would like to thank also Brother Graff, Brother Bear, Brother Coffee, and Brother Brown for making me more nervous right before service and saying things like, "Oh, I can't wait to hear you, Brother Coffee." And Brother Graff, "Break a leg." I mean, what is that all about? But thank you, Brother Bear. Thank you, Brother Coffee, for praying for me for this. I really appreciate that. And I do take it seriously. 1 Samuel 15:22, you don't have to turn there. It says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Brother Portman, you mentioned it before, obedience. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obedience is critical. Obedience in Martha's mind was what? Martha had her focus on, "I have a guest, I have the disciples, I need to make a meal, I need to clean the house, I'm just busy, busy, busy. My focus is on something." Now, was her focus on the right thing? Well, maybe, but let's put it in perspective. Let's look at Mary. Mary's focus was on Jesus. And how do you know that? Because she was sitting next to Jesus. She was spending time next to Jesus. She wasn't doing a thing for preparing a meal or housework. She wasn't doing that. She was focusing on what was the more important thing. Martha was so focused on doing a good thing, which it was a good thing, that she missed out on doing the most important thing. The title of my message is, Let's Focus on the Important Things in Life. Now, Brother Portman, you alluded to it before. You know, we're so busy. In my notes I have, and we all go through this, there are so many distractions in our life. So many things that creep up. And a lot of them aren't bad, but some of them could be bad. Our focus needs to be on the important things of life, not on those distractions that can be so meaningless. Jesus and his desires, what about focusing on those things? How about others in need? How about our family? You know, we have two little girls, and if my focus isn't on them and Maureen, I'm missing it. And I'll be honest with you tonight that there's times, and we'll talk about this a little bit later about family, that my focus isn't always there. And I apologize to Maureen, who's homesick tonight, to Leah, Rochelle, Mom and Dad, to the saints of God, everyone here. I would like to publicly apologize for not always having my focus on what I need to have my focus on Jesus, on what I need to do, on talking to the lost. A few months ago, Brother Bear held a four-series Teach the Teacher Bible study meeting, and at the last lesson, he shared a story that he was driving by a man who was stalled alongside the road, and he thought of stopping, and he was in such a hurry. He had something to do. He had a place to be, and it was time critical. He drove by him, and he asked the question to the group, do you think God was displeased in that? And for whatever reason, I don't know why I said this, but I said it out loud. I said, of course he was displeased in you. And I said it out of jest. I'm just kidding. And I was joking. I apologize afterwards. I did not mean that in any disrespect because of anyone. I don't know of anyone but Brother Bear who takes the lost so seriously, going into the prisons, teaching Bible studies. And that was a lesson to me because 2 days later, I see a guy alongside the road. And he was, you know, on his phone and, you know, and his car was there. And I thought, I'm on my way to work. I can't stop Jesus. And then those words rang in my mind. The question, do you think God was displeased with that? And in my flippant response, I'm sure he was. And I was really joking, Brother Bear. But that went through my mind, and I thought, what should I do? So I pulled over, and I said, hey, do you need some help? Yeah, my car broke down, and, you know, I'm calling somebody, and everything's good. We'll be okay. And I said, well, here's a card. I go to church right down the road, and, you know, feel free. Come on out, and you'll have a great time. And, you know, are you sure you don't need any help? You want me to, you know, stay with you or buy a coffee? And he said, no, I'm good. I didn't say that. But he said, I'm good, thank you. And as I drove away, I saw him, you know, looking and reading at the card. So thank you, Brother Bear. That was a great statement, and because I opened my mouth so foolishly, it came back to me. So these distractions, some distractions are such that they take our focus off the important things in life, so much so that we aren't able to make proper and good decisions. If we would maintain, and this is the key, this is the trick, to maintain our focus on what the important things in life are. Jesus, amen. His desires, other people, people in need, people that need to hear the word of God, family, friends. When we have our focus on the important things in life, we are then able to make proper and good decisions. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first. So there's a seeking, there's a focus on first the righteousness of God. Look at David. We're gonna talk about some people in the Bible. David, known as a man after God's own heart. He was relentless and had his focus on God. He sought God and praised God more than any earthly treasures. Psalms 27:4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He had distractions. There was a lion, there was a bear, there was Goliath. That was a major one. Yet he was still victorious in the face of the enemy. Now, we all know David, when he did take his focus off of God and didn't regard the importance of what, or didn't regard what was important in life, he became distracted by a woman and he made wrong choices. The result, innocent people died. His baby died. His son died. He became miserable. Yet what did he do? He earnestly repented. He was truly sorry for what he did. And because of that, this all isn't gloom and doom, but because of that, he was restored with God. So we're talking about focusing on the important things in life. What is important to you? What's important to me? I have a few things that come to mind right away. How about Solomon? Solomon was known as the wisest man that ever lived. He had a wise and an understanding heart. That's what he had asked for. God offered Solomon whatever he wanted. Wouldn't that be neat? God comes up to you and says, "Whatever you want, just ask." He had everything at his disposal. He could have asked for riches, fame, long life. Yet Solomon asked for a discerning heart to govern God's people and distinguish between right and wrong. Due to Solomon's focus, God gave him not only what he asked for, yet also riches and honor and long life if he was obedient. 1 Kings 3:9 says, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" How about Paul? The disciple Paul? He had, when he came to Jesus, a lot of baggage. But he didn't let that baggage of his past dictate his goal or take his focus off his calling from God. He knew what his goal was. He knew exactly what it was. God was very clear with him. Jesus told him. He was focused and he didn't waver. Philippians 3:13-14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And this is the key that he said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Why? Because he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. So this Pharisee of Pharisees, who had everything going for him, turned his focus on Jesus. Amen. And became a great disciple. Amen. So we're talking about focusing on the important things in life. What about Jesus? What is important to him? The only way we'll find out is if we read the manuscript. If we read the Bible, we find out exactly what is important to Jesus. One example is in The Rich Young Ruler. That poor guy, he really takes, you know, a bad rap. And we think, wow, you know, why didn't you just do what Jesus said? Well, how many times are we faced with maybe not the same question, but a question from God? "Hey, just do this and follow me." Oh, that's a tough one. So the rich young ruler claimed to be righteous, but he was unwilling to give Jesus the one thing that Jesus asked for, was himself. Mark 10:21 says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me.'" So he was willing to impress Jesus with his track record, but he was unwilling to surrender his status. He was too focused on the temporary. I've got all this money. I can't just give this all away. I'm focused on the money. You know, and do we do the same thing? I do. Maybe I'm the only one. So he was too focused on the temporary, not the eternal, which was Jesus. And I often wonder if he ever had a second chance, if Jesus ever asked him that question again. I wonder what he did. The Bible doesn't record it, but I sometimes play in my mind, well, I wonder what happened. I'd like to finish the story or find out what happened to him. I wonder if Jesus gave him a second chance and he took it. Right before service, I'm you know, going over my notes and praying, and from years ago, I was in a sport and I had a neck and a hip injury, and I don't know what happened, but I've got to turn like a statue because my neck's all tight, it's out of joint, and I have to go get an adjustment, but it's just so painful. The 800 milligram ibuprofen isn't touching it. So I went up to Brother Mike, and I said, "Hey, do you guys have any Advil?" And he says, "Aspirin and Advil have I none." And he puts his hand out so we could pray. So I grabbed his hand, and he prayed for me. So thank you, Brother Mike. And I thought, and I said to him, I said, "Wow, this example that we just went through and experienced, I could use this in my message." I was so focused on getting some Advil. You know, who in here has Advil? Well, he was the closest one, and Sister Nibia, let this be a lesson to you that, you know, you need to carry some Advil. But I said, you know, this is my message. You know, I'm so focused on the Advil that, yeah, why didn't I just ask God? I don't know. Don't answer that. So what we're talking about here is what? Focusing. Yes, thank you. Focusing on what's important in our life. So another example are, and this is a great one, the Israelites. When they're going into the land of Canaan, God promises them, "This is your land. It's yours." Well, they sent 12 spies in. First of all, I don't know why they did that. If God already said, "This is your land," 10 of them came back with a bad report. Joshua 3:5 says, And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, this is really interesting. The Israelites, or the spies, the 10 spies' perspective of themselves translated into their thinking that is the way their enemy perceived them. The same way. So first, they're thinking, wow, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. So then they thought, well, that's obviously how they view us. Well, this only occurred because how they first saw themselves. And then they assumed the enemy saw them the same way. If the spies would have focused on the important thing of God, and the important thing was to trust in God, that God said, "This is yours," then the Canaanites may still have seen them as grasshoppers, but yet they might have viewed them as, maybe giant grasshoppers or victorious grasshoppers or unstoppable grasshoppers or mighty grasshoppers, or those are the grasshoppers with vicious teeth-eating teeth. You know, we can't mess with them. And then, you know what they could have done is they could have started their own little club as, hey, we're the grasshoppers, and then had green hats and green suits, and then they could have marched in to the land of Canaan and said, hey, we're the grasshoppers, and then they would have fled. The giants would have left. But God already promised them the victory and the land. It shouldn't matter what we see, what we feel, what we hear. All that matters is what God says and what he thinks of our situation. Could the Israelites have defeated the Canaanites? Easily. Who said that? Thank you, Brother Frank. Yes, of course. Easily. If they would have not lost their focus of the importance in trusting in God and made the right decision. You know, our decisions not only affect ourselves, but they affect everyone around us. Those 10 spies, because they came back with a negative report, they were not allowed into the promised land. Their families, anyone over the age of 40 was not. They affected and they infected everyone to the point that they wanted, you know, the people revolted and they got everyone upset that, yeah, we can't overtake this land. We can't do it. We are grasshoppers. Yeah, you're right. We're grasshoppers. I'm a grasshopper. We can't take it, but if they would have just listened to God, the Bible talks about contrasting foundations of sand and rock when building a house to withstand the storm. Sand and rock. There's two foundations that the Bible points out. Now, the storm will come no matter what the house is built on. The storm will still come. You could say, well, I got my house built on a rock. You know, the storm's not going to come. Well, the storm will still come, but what matters most is the foundation. And that foundation I liken to what we're focused on. It wasn't the walls or the roof or the plumbing or the electrical or the drywall or anything like that. It wasn't that the Bible focused on. It was the foundation, what that house is built on. Is it strong? Is it sturdy? Or is it sinking? When our focus is on the things that we need to be focused on, what are we doing? We're building that foundation stronger and stronger. So when the storm comes, not if it comes, but when the storm comes, we can say, Jesus, I trust you. You know, my focus is on you. I don't understand everything. I don't need to understand everything. And maybe it's better we don't understand everything. But what I can understand is that God is in control, that he will direct the situation, and that it will work out. Let's talk about why we're here. We're focusing on the important things of life. What is important to our families, our spouse? What's important to Rochelle and Leah may not always be important to me. What's important to Maureen, I admit it may not be important to me. But that's okay, to a point. I should say this because Maureen's not here. No, just kidding. Time spent with our families is so precious. And sometimes I'll walk through the hall and I'll see photos, or I'll go through my external hard drive and I'll you know, keep downloading and saving photos from my phone. And I'll see photos of Leah when she was 4, 3, 5. And I'll think back and I'll think, wow, those were great moments. Those were great times. Those were, and then I'll think of, you know, what she said and what she did. And, you know, and I'll be scrolling through the pictures and some videos. When Leah was 3, I had taken so many photos and pictures. I think I filled up 16 DVDs of, that's how Maureen looked. What? You got that many? And Rochelle, probably not as many, but they're so precious to me. And back to my point, I'll see these photos and I'll have to struggle and fight getting sad or depressed because I think, man, those were great times. And okay, the thing I'll get disturbed about most is, why didn't I spend more time doing something or things with them? Why didn't I spend more time? We've talked about this. I know you're shaking your head no, but I know, you know, even Maureen says you spend a lot of time with your girls, but I want to spend more time. I love them so much. And I think maybe the reason is, you all probably know the story, but Maureen and I were married 14 years and could not have children. Two miscarriages, doctor appointments, prayer. You know, this church was wonderful. Wonderful. And was our focus taken off? You know, maybe a blessing that would come in the future? Yeah, it was. It was difficult. At times we would drive home from church and I'd stop the car and I'd look over and Maureen's just weeping. I said, "What's wrong?" And the hard thing was seeing our friends the same age, their kids growing up. And every time I would see them, I would think, wow, you know, those two miscarriages, I wonder, would we have a boy, a girl? Would we have two girls, two boys? You know, and what would they be like at that age? So it was very difficult. And I have to admit, my focus wasn't always where it should have been. But through those years, we taught Bible studies. You know, we tried to be as faithful as we could to church and you know, reach out to people and spend time with family. But I think that's why it's just, they're so precious to us, because we waited 14 years. Finally, we have these two blessings. So I have to fight depression when I see young photos of Leah and even Rochelle, thinking, could I have spent a little bit more time with them? What matters most in our lives? You know, those girls mean so much to us. There's times where I'll come home and, Daddy, you know, can we do this? Can we play this? Hold on. You know, I got this project I got to work on, or I got this thing to do. And I would do that with Leah once in a while. And that, when I think back, bothers me. But I turned it around and said, hey, I've got a painting project, and you can help me. So then I get my project done. I spend time with Leah or Rochelle. It may not look the best, but oh well, you know. Can you repaint it? Sure. So, time spent with family is precious, yes, yet how many unmeaningful, insignificant circumstances take our focus off the most important people in our life? I heard a story of a father telling a story that there is a picture of him and his daughter in front of an amusement park. And whenever someone sees this, they say, oh, that's great. That must have been a great time. That must have, you know, been a lot of fun. You must have gone on a lot of rides and, you know, tell us about it. What park was that? And, you know, and the father, the only thing he could think of is it was hot. And this daughter of mine was on my lap. I did not want her on my lap. And I wanted her off. And so whenever he sees that photo, that's what he thinks of. His experience was, I just want this kid off. In fact, he moved his arm to kind of push her off after the photo was taken. So when I look back on photos, I want to see and remember those were times well spent. Even if I'm spending time doing something, even if you're spending time with family, friends, doing something, if your mind is off somewhere else and you're going through the motions, and that's happened, I look back and I think, why? You know, I had this precious little one You know, her full attention, my full attention should have been on her. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." How many missed opportunities that God meant for blessings? Bike riding with Rochelle the other day, I thought, okay, we're going on a bike ride. My focus was, you know, point A to point B. We're going to, you know, keep moving, keep pedaling. We're going to, you know, just keep riding. Leah was with us, but she was way ahead. You know, she never stays with us. She's always fast. And Rochelle's focus every 10 feet was to stop, get off the bike. Look at these flowers, Dad. Look at this precious stone. It's a piece of glass. And I'm like, no, let's just put that back. Look at this, Dad, this pile of rocks. And my focus was, okay, come on, Rochelle, we got to keep moving. We're on a bike ride. We got to stay on this bike ride. You know, but what is she doing? She's stopping. She's enjoying life. She's looking at the things around her. She's taking time, what's that saying, to stop and smell the roses. So when I'm so focused on our destination, I can't stop and enjoy the things God has given to us to enjoy. You know, put that in a spiritual perspective. You know, when we're on our destination, you know, yeah, that's a great destination. That's a great goal. But God gave us this earth to enjoy. He gave us everyone to enjoy. Our friends, family, saints. Even while typing this message, Rochelle comes out of her bedroom at 10:06 and says, "I forgot my dolly." Well, actually, I got to say, this was the third time she was out of her bedroom. So I don't know why she keeps forgetting her dolly, but right. You know, I know better than that. I'm a little smarter than that. So she ends up sitting on my lap, asking all kinds of questions as I'm typing this message. And I thought, you know, my tendency was to, Rochelle, get to bed. I have this to work on. But I thought, no, you can sit here. She usually likes taking my phone and playing Minecraft. So I said, do you want to play Minecraft? No, I just want to sit with you. I just want to be with you. I mean, yeah. How can you put someone to bed with that? Oh, and then she lays on the floor pretending she's dead. So I hold her and it's okay, you know, Jesus, touch her, help her, and it's okay. And then she stops and she whispers in my ear, "No, Dad, you're supposed to pick me up and carry into my bedroom." So, okay, you know, my back and my neck are sore, okay. But, you know, I walked away from that thinking, I'm glad I took that time. I'm glad I just didn't say, Rochelle, get to bed. This is the third time you've been out here. You know, don't get me wrong, sometimes I do that. She has to learn. I'm learning too. All right, so Leah, the other day, Dad, let's play badminton. Sorry, Leah, let me just finish my meal. This is the ritual. I get home from work. They want to run outside. I grab a plate of food. I sit outside with them and eat just so I can, you know, be with them. Sorry, Leah, I'm eating when I'm done. Once, well, you know, other things come up. Rochelle's on her Jeep, and then Leah decides to ride her bike. And then later that night, you know, put them to bed, and I think, oh, we never played badminton. And things like that bother me because I think that was important to her at the time. You know, those things that are important to her, I want them to be important to me too. So I try to turn these, like I said, these circumstances into having them help. Paint, glue, assemble things, clean something, cutting something, shoveling, whatever it is. They can help, and that can be time well spent. Okay, what if I had just stepped back, not been in a hurry, and picked some flowers with Rochelle or played badminton with Leah? Well, what would have been the things we would have seen together, Rochelle and I. Or how much better could I be at my badminton game with Leah? What would have been the things we would have learned and seen together, Jesus and I? What about spending time with Jesus? What are the important things to him? And what if my focus was on that? A friend of mine some years ago, his mother passed away, and I went to the funeral. And before the funeral started, he comes up to me and he says, "Oh, Art," he goes, I feel terrible. I treated my mom like garbage, and now she's gone." And what do you say to that? What do you say? I mean, she's gone. Well, then during the ceremony or the funeral, the other brother gets up and speaks, and he has nothing but good to say about his mom. They spent time together. They shopped together. They did landscaping together. They worked on his farm together. And what a difference. And I think I'll never forget that. The worry that the one friend had that he treated his mom bad. It bothered him so. And it bothered him so because he had no recourse. He had nothing to do. He couldn't do a thing because she was already gone. And I think, how many times do I miss opportunities? Possibly even here with all of you, to say a kind word or to greet you or do whatever, you know, for Leah and Rochelle or for Maureen or for my parents to, you know, just make the time to stop over or take the time to do something. Focus on those things that are important. Because if we don't and we pass those up, I don't know if we'll get another chance. Now, don't get me wrong. God is a God of a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. You know, and if you have that opportunity to make it right or to say something you need to said that's been long overdue, by all means, do it. Do it now. I remember a time I was helping my dad and mom build their cabin up north, and we were putting the walls up, and Dad said, "I want, you know, nails in, you know, every 6 inches with the nailer." Well, I for whatever reason, I wasn't doing it right, and he got upset, then I got upset, and it was all my fault. It was all my fault. I wasn't doing his instructions properly. I just wasn't following it. So I was the immature one, and I got angry thinking, why is Dad getting angry with me? But it was all my fault. Well, we went to breakfast the next morning. He said, "Let's go to breakfast." And he did the fatherly thing and tried to make it right, but I was still upset. I drove home 6 hours. A day or two went by. And I thought, you know, if something happened to my dad, if my father passed away right now, I wouldn't be able to let that go. So there was a time I sat in his living room and I said, "Dad, I'm really sorry for that time I got so upset. It was all my fault, and I'm really sorry." And the father, he is, I don't even remember that. You know, he just remembers the good things. I said, "No, I need to make this right." And there's times I've had to apologize to people not making it right because my focus got off what was important to my dad. It was to nail the sheeting on 6 inches. And I was probably going 6.5, Dad, but... The good news. Let's wrap this up with good news. That's the good news. I'm almost done. Like I said, Jesus is a God of another chance. He is ready and willing to help us get our focus back on what the important things in life are. He is a God of, listen to this. If anyone has children, you'll know what this is. Retries or redos. How many times have I heard, oh, let's retry, retry. Now Rochelle, you know, she knows retry. Retry if they mess up something. You know, Leah's playing the flute. If she messes, oh, retry. If Rochelle's doing something, it's a retry. So can we have retries? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lamentations 3:21 through 23, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So don't let time, things, circumstances, even people stand in the way of our focus on what the important things in life should be. Focus on what's important to God, what's important to our family, what's important to our spouse, and then we'll make good decisions in life. Don't let anything stand in the way to make it right with God or someone else. I am so glad that I made it right with you, Dad, for that one circumstance. You may think, well, it was no big deal. Why does that bother you so much? But it did. It bothered me because of the way I acted, the immature nature. I was wrong. You weren't. I needed to focus on what the proper instructions were. I want to see and focus on the important things of life that Jesus has prescribed in his word. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Focusing on the important things in life each and every day will cause us to make the right decisions for every circumstance in our life. It will result in a lifelong lasting effect not only on ourselves, but others around us as well. Remember, Jesus loves us more than we'll ever know. Jesus loves us more than we'll ever comprehend or think. You know, he died, he took a beating, showing his love for us. Any missed opportunities that we have, keep this in mind. They are just chances for God to restore and make them even better. My relationship with my dad, I felt was better after I approached him and said, I'm sorry. That was way out of line how I acted. Immature. I'm really sorry. You know, that I know you love this word. That's bonding. That is mending. You know, there wasn't a bad relationship, but when we do those things, when we focus on doing what's right, things will always go better. So those missed opportunities are good chances for God to make them even better. From the scriptures we read, Jesus wants us and is waiting to give us another chance. He wants to give us a chance, and he's waiting for us to ask, can I have another chance? We have to then take the next step. If you could stand with me. Do you have anything? Okay. I'd like to open this altar. Please come, and this would be a great opportunity to ask God to help us focus on the important things in our life.